Well, that was a fun one, wasn't it?
I'll take that. Bash the Bayou Bengals at home.
Man, that that brought back some good memories last night, Will. That's basketball about, you know, 8 to 10 years ago. That place was off the charts, off the charts. It was a lot of fun.
And I was watching through the first half, and it became apparent to me that these are the two best teams in the SEC, because it was close and LSU was hitting some shots. And I was just thinking, man, these are the two best teams in the SEC. And then you think about how the Aggies ran away at the end. It was almost clear proof that, hey, the Aggies may very well just be the best team in the SEC. And last night was the exclamation point around that statement.
Oh, this is Studio 12, by the way. But you know that. That's why you're listening. Either that or you forgot to change your radio dial before we
People
started.
People have been waiting all day for this, man.
I think they have.
All day.
Maybe not. Maybe on the way back from lunch.
When I say people, I mean six people have been waiting all day for this.
We can't count family, Will, so cut it down to three.
Oh, darn.
Three
it.
People.
Darn
it's, Studio,
it.
It's Studio 12 presented by Alpha Graphics. Matt and Will welcome you to the south end zone of Kyle Field and 12th Man Studios. Aggies 71-57 over LSU last night. If you weren't there, you sure missed a pretty special day in Reed Arena history. In fact, it was the largest crowd in Reed Arena history, 13,888. I did not think we could put any more in the building than we had for that Texas game about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, but we did. It was loud. It was packed. 6,500-plus students in the building, second-largest student crowd ever. I'm sure some got turned away, judging by the lines I saw outside. Just a special night, and really, Will, the thing I take away from that more than anything is what you just said. Texas A&M and the way they played, I think, cemented themselves. They are now, I think, the team to beat in the league. And I'm not just saying that because I work here. I had a friend of mine text me maybe halftime, a little after halftime, one of my good buddies that really watches, like, loves basketball. We used to go to all the games in college here at A&M. And so he's locked in. He watches his team. And he's like, man, I'm getting nervous. You know, now he's watching on TV. He goes, I'm getting nervous. I was like, we got this.
That's the thing. But the team doesn't.
You could
the
feel it.
The team does not
yeah.
at all.
In the arena, yeah. I never once was worried, just because I was like, I thought we would, it might be close for a while, and I thought it would, A&M would just pull away. And that's exactly what they did. And honestly, A&M didn't shoot very well in the second half, nor did LSU. The A&M defense was great. If the Aggies shoot fairly well in the second half, this could have been about a 25-point blowout.
Yeah, and I've seen it so many times this year. There is no panic on this team. That's a credit to the seniors and the way they lead these talented freshmen. And then you get the mix in the middle with Miller and Trocia, the sophomore and junior on the squad. But to make no mistake about it, this team belongs to these seniors. I mean, even the first-year senior, Anthony Collins, he controls them on offense. They follow Alex Caruso because of how hard he plays and those intangibles he brings. Same thing with Jalen Jones. Jalen Jones is just absolutely incredible right now. And Daniel House, maybe not playing his best, but you just feel he's going to get it going. You don't worry about Daniel House. You don't worry about these seniors. You don't worry about this team. Because so many times they've done it this year, tight moments, pressure, adversity, they just keep the same look on their face. Whether they're up 14 or down 2 late, it's always the same thing that these guys show. And I look back at the last two games. Obviously, last night was fantastic. But I even want to go back to Saturday with Georgia, because I got to travel with them and really get an inside look at them. And Georgia's a team they'd struggled against. And people were making something out of that. A&M is 0-4 against the Bulldogs while in the SEC. But I went in the locker room before that game. I watched Coach Kennedy talk to them, and I watched their faces as he did. And the faces almost said, nothing can get to us. Nothing bothers them. All right, we're 0-4 against Georgia in the SEC. We don't care. We believe in this team. We believe in the plan this coach is putting before us. And it was so obvious. It was so clear. And even in the moment, there weren't very many moments where Georgia was close. I mean, that was a blowout pretty much from start to finish. But I remember when they took the floor, I said, all right, when does adversity strike today, and how does A&M handle it? This is in Athens on Saturday. And there was a brief moment where Georgia made a couple of buckets, got to within 7 in the first half, and then the crowd got to their feet. And I was like, all right, here's one. Here's a moment. How do you respond to this? Caruso 3, DJ Hogue 3, leads back out to 13. It was over from there. I mean, and then last night, LSU hits shots early. A&M was shooting about 60% throughout the first half. LSU was right around 50%. Both teams very good, but the Tigers were making the long-range shot. Hornsby had a few threes, and their percentage from behind the arc as a team was very good, so LSU was right there in it. And you watched this team play through that. They didn't care. It didn't matter to them. It was like you were saying and like the thought you had. It's we're fine. It just seems there's nothing that happens on the court or in the environment that keeps this team from thinking we're fine. They're always fine. Just keep doing what we do. Keep executing the game plan. We know we're good enough. Just keep executing. We'll be fine. And they have that look and that feel to them constantly. Every game for 40 minutes. It never leaves them. And that's what's so incredible about them. And it helps having so many guys on this roster that are capable of hitting a big bucket at the right time. That's something you're going to need, especially when the calendar turns to the month of March.
Yeah, and you mentioned about the message that you saw in Athens. I'm sure it was exactly the same last night. And why do I say that? Because that's how Coach Kennedy runs this ship. It is a trust in the process, do your job, stay cool, stay calm, stay even. That message was very obvious last night in the postgame. If you've not seen or heard any of the postgame comments, I highly encourage you, hop on 12thman.com and check it out on our postgame recap page, because you hear it from Tyler Davis. You hear it from Admon Gilder. You hear it from Coach Kennedy. You know, they were asked, why does this team stay so even and so calm? You know, why are you guys able to do this? And Tyler Davis said it about three times. He's like, just everyone just does their job. Just do your job. And that's what you do. You talked about Daniel House last night. Well, if you look at his line, 5 points, you go, oh, man, he had a bad night. Well, I don't necessarily say that.
That's true.
10 rebounds, 6 assists. Finding other ways to contribute to the team if your shot isn't falling. Anthony Collins, 6 assists. He took 2 shots, didn't have to shoot. Mm-hmm. Just does his thing, like always. One of the guys that I think is going to be a huge key down the – he's already been a big key, but I think he's so far under the radar that I don't know that a lot of people are paying attention to him, is Admon Gilder. 13 points, hit 3 three-pointers. The guy is providing so much spark and energy off that bench. And Tavario Miller had to play some extra minutes yesterday, 5 rebounds for him. That's third on the team last night. So and that goes without even talking about Jalen Jones or Tyler Davis, who both were fantastic. In keeping a Ben Simmons – the country's best player in check. Simmons still had a pretty good night, 10 points, 11 boards, 5 assists. He did not go off.
Right.
And no one else on that LSU squad hurt Texas A&M. I noticed in the first half almost a balanced scoring from LSU. They were shooting the ball pretty well. But there wasn't one guy that had a ton of points or was taking a bunch of shots. It was just LSU was hitting them in little spots here and there, but there wasn't one guy that just took over and dominated the game, and A&M was able to keep Simmons from doing that and keep everyone else on LSU's team from doing that. And the Aggies pick up a very impressive, a very key win, a long time to go, and we'll talk about this more in the second segment, you know, this SEC race. There's a lot of basketball left to be played, a ton, but your Aggies sitting pretty right now. But you really got to like what you saw out of this group, Will, and you know, as we look ahead here, the next 3 home games, and we're going to mention this multiple times in the show. Folks, I'm telling you, if you have not watched this team, you got to come watch. This is a blast to watch. It's a lot of fun. This arena is hopping and energetic like it's only been a couple times before. The next 3 home games, too, are all Saturday afternoon games, and they're against Missouri, Iowa State, and South Carolina, 2 of those teams ranked.
Down the road, another Saturday on February 20th is the
Those Wildcats.
But right
tremendous
now,
chances. Yeah.
Look, South Carolina went on the road and got an overtime win over Ole Miss last night. They're still in there. I mean, they're only a game behind the Aggies. How's that shaping up for February 6th? That's another 13,000. I saw a lot of standing room
Frank
only.
Frank Martin, man.
Yeah, a lot of standing room only areas pretty crammed in last night. Can we get another 112 into those areas? Maybe 14,000 against the Gamecocks?
Hopefully.
Or the Wildcats or both.
Everybody. Yeah, it was fun. It was a whole ton of fun. And we'll talk more about that here in just a few minutes after the break. You're going to hear from Jalen Jones and his comments following the win over LSU. Later in the show, we've got some great comments from Coach Kennedy and Tyler Davis about that. And a special interview for you Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we were able to catch SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey in Aggieland, a very brief stop. And by brief, I mean a few hours. He was in long enough to visit with some student athletes, present the SEC Championship trophy to the volleyball team last night, watch the game, and then back to Birmingham. Yep. We caught up with Commissioner Sankey. You won't want to miss that. That'll be a fun interview as well. That's when we return. This is Studio 12. It is presented by Alpha Graphics for all your printing, large format sign, and mailing needs. Call Alpha Graphics of Bryan College Station, the official printing partner of Texas A&M Sports Properties, 979-779-1234. Back with more Studio 12 in a bit on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
If you're a fan of snacking, you'll be a fan of new DQ Bake Snack Melts with flavors like buffalo chicken and chicken bacon barbecue, served hot out of the oven at participating locations. This is fan food, not fast food.
You said bacon. I heard bacon.
Yeah. Well, I thought I said bacon twice. I said buffalo chicken as well.
You can't say bacon enough.
Well, buffalo chicken too.
Okay. I'm good with that as well. Can we combine buffalo chicken and bacon?
I guess we'll be at DQ tomorrow.
That's going to happen.
Always does. We influence ourselves pretty easy.
Yeah, we do.
But Will and Matt, back with you, south end zone of Kyle Field. This is Studio 12 last night. The Aggies by 14 on the basketball court over the LSU Tigers. A&M still in sole possession of first place in the SEC. And, Matt, you kind of talked a little box score there, ran down what some of the guys did last night. And I think if I pinpoint a few of them, you think about those freshmen, Davis and Gilder, they were terrific. And it was a night where Anthony Collins and Alex Caruso, they were good, and they always provide something special to this team. But maybe Collins and Caruso's stat line wasn't as robust as it may have been in past games. And that's why it's nice to see like a Davis and a Gilder pick things up there. House, also you mentioned it. When it comes to assists and rebounds, you couldn't ask for a better night from him. Points were a little tougher for him. Still think he's got to go to the basket to get his night started. And one of the reasons I think that is Daniel House is just a ton more athletic than people think he is. I think he's looked at as a shooter. But, I mean, this guy can move. He can jump. He can bounce. He can cut. I mean, he can get to the basket. There was a time last night where he got to the basket and got called for an offensive foul. And to me, I was kind of like, keep going. Be aggressive. Keep going.
Man,
I think it's something.
If that thing had gone in.
Yeah.
I think they would have blown the roof off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, he can do that. And I think that's something he's got to do to get his night started. Because, again, like I said in the show in the past, you know, once a guy guarding you says, my goodness, this guy's quick, he can go to the basket, maybe he's a little more timid, maybe he backs off a bit, now you're getting open looks from long range. But Jalen Jones, I mean, it seems like he goes for 20 every night. He's averaging over 20 in SEC play. He does it inside. He does it behind the arc. He does it with an efficient shooting night. Last night he was 9 of 14 from the floor. I mean, his shooting percentage is phenomenal when he gets to these 20-point games. It's just like that every single time. Right now, coaches in the SEC are watching film and literally saying, how on earth do we guard him? I mean, I can double him down inside. He knows where to throw the ball outside. I mean, if I try to guard him down low, he can get to the outside. He can create his own shot there. I mean, if I guard him outside, he can dribble past me and get to the basket. I mean, he knows where his teammates are. He seems to be open around the basket or behind the arc so many times. I mean, coaches are watching film, just having nightmares on trying to figure out what to do with Jalen Jones. And it starts to beg the question, Matt. I mean, you got A&M as the front runner at the moment in the SEC, probably the favorite. I mean, do you start to ask the question, Jalen Jones or Ben Simmons, which one down the stretch, SEC Player of the Year?
Yeah.
And Jalen Jones won the individual head-to-head last night. So.
Yeah, I mean.
Again, I mean, I think the question has to start to come up now.
Yeah, and what you like, too, about you see a guy like Daniel House, Will, when we talked about him having a, quote, off night. It's unrealistic to think these guys are going to score 20, 25 points every single time they're out on the floor. But you didn't. He didn't need to score 20 points.
Yeah, Jalen keeps defying it, but Daniel, yeah. Daniel will get going. He'll get going by going to the basket.
Taking it to the
rock.
Again,
I'll say
well,
it again.
Yeah, that's one thing that was mentioned in the postgame as well, Will, was paint points, just being physical under there. The Aggies, 42 of their 71 points came in the paint.
I think I looked up at one point and something like the first 18 points for A&M were all inside. Until they hit a three, maybe with a little under 10 to go in the first half.
And if you pull out the free throws, 42 of the 62 points were in the paint. A&M was aggressive. They attacked the basket, grabbed those offensive boards when they got the opportunity. Very, very impressive showing for Texas A&M. Following last night's game, our student reporter Jake Kaberski was able to catch up with what we think is the leading candidate for the SEC Player of the Year at this point, Jalen Jones, after the Aggies win over the LSU Tigers.
A special night and a special crowd at Reed Arena as the Aggies defeated LSU. But it's business as usual for this Texas A&M basketball team. Business for you, Jalen. 20 points. Can you talk about your performance? Talk about the magnitude of this win.
It feels great. You know, anytime you get a victory, and we were glad that we had the 12th man behind us. And, you know, LSU fought hard tonight, and we just had to dig deep and continue to bounce back. And we were happy that we came out with the victory.
Close game in the first half. Obviously, you made some adjustments to the intermission. What did y'all do differently in the second half to kind of break away and secure this win?
First, we had to take care of the ball, and then we had to turn it up and take our defense to a different level. So we knew that we started with stops, and we tried to start off the first 5 minutes to get a lot of stops and continue that throughout the game.
A lot of talk about their freshman, Simmons, coming in here averaging 20 points. Y'all held him to 10. Defensively, what did y'all key in on? How were y'all able to limit his production tonight?
Just we got to limit him from attacking the basket. You know, he's not going to shoot any jump shots. So we just playing for the drive every time, and, you know, we were able to get him out of his rhythm tonight.
You alluded to it earlier. Can you just speak to the magnitude of the 12th man tonight? School record, almost 14,000 people inside of Reed.
You know, it was incredible, and it was a great feeling to have, you know, the fans there support us. And, you know, in my personal opinion, I think every game should be sold out. And it was great that they were there tonight.
Jalen, thanks for the time. Best of luck moving forward.
Thank you.
Again, Texas A&M defeating LSU, a school record crowd tonight at Reed Arena.
There's Jalen following the win last night. And, again, just another impressive performance for Texas A&M. Cade Key decided to come hang out with us here for a few minutes. He of the Cade Beats.
He shows up after victories, doesn't he? And what is it, nine
well,
in a row?
Guess what?
Or is it
We've won
row?
A lot this year.
Is it
so
eight
I'm
in a row?
Here.
It's a lot in a row.
Nine in a row now after nine. Last night, right? Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, he'll just come and sit down. Fun you know, at
you,
some point.
You want to talk basketball?
At some point. Yeah, I mean, no, people, I mean, Kentucky, I say people don't do it. Kentucky did it last year. You don't really go 18-0 in conference. At some point, somebody might pick the Aggies off. I want to see what he's like the next day.
Well, here's the deal, though. And, Cade, you may back me up on this. I think you probably agree with me. What A&M's doing right now is they're winning the games they probably should be winning, especially if you're at this level. What you're doing is you're going to, as you go through the course of the season, you're going to get picked off a time or two. But you're creating yourself a buffer. You're creating yourself where you're not going to run into late February, early March, where every single game, every single possession is a must-win possession. And it's that, I think, this team plays loose. They play confident. They play relaxed. That will even, I think, enhance that.
Yeah, what's nice is that after last night, we've built up a two-game lead on anyone in the league, which means that if anyone wants to catch us, they're going to have to do some serious making up. But it's nice this time of year going in. And you should win every game. You are the better team every night going forward in conference play, and that's nice. And, yes, yeah, you can say you're going to get picked off, you're going to have an off night, but we've already seen that from the Aggies have an off night, or the other team just can't miss and at Mississippi State and Tennessee, and we still won. You're going to play some better teams in Mississippi State and Tennessee down the road, but, I mean, not to be maroon glasses.
No,
on,
that's what we do, man.
That's
I mean,
what this show is.
I
look at the
I don't
walls
see why we couldn't
you.
Go undefeated in conference play. Who's to say why shouldn't
no,
we?
No, I mean,
if we stay healthy, keep playing as we are, and the freshmen keep progressing, Tyler keeps just he's just a dominant big man at this point. Admon, DJ keep shooting how they're doing. Our seniors, DeVario, Tony keep playing at such a high level as a team. No, a lot of unselfishness and just playing good defense as we've seen these past couple nights. Why not? Why can't we go undefeated in league play?
Well, okay. One reason is I think the schedule. It works out so perfect where the toughest games are at home. And now look what Reed Arena's like.
Kentucky at home. 14, South Carolina
almost last
at home.
Night.
How fun was that,
I will
Kate?
Correct you, though. South Carolina, they didn't fall two games back. They won in overtime
last
night.
Oh, did they win last night?
They were down big when I looked at the
score. I think they closed the second half at Ole Miss. on an 11-0 run to send it to overtime, and then won by three in overtime. So they stay a game behind the Aggies. But you can end that talk on February 6th. If you were to beat South Carolina at home, they drop further back, and you got the head-to-head at that point. So, I mean, it's all out there.
How fun is that place when those students are just slammed in there?
It's getting back to the days of when I was a student of camping out before games because you wanted a prime seat. Dear students, if you want to have a seat and not be up in the rafters and shoved against multiple people, get there early. Camp out. Tailgate. Have fun. You're missing tailgating for Aggie football games? Guess what? We're good at basketball. You can tailgate at basketball games as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was some barbecue last night, I've heard. The Rowdies were Roy May, former Yellow Leader, was barbecuing for the Reed Rowdies. I should have gotten out there.
That's nice.
I should have gotten out there.
That guy can smoke a brisket. You ever follow him on Twitter? It's all food.
He's
going to
get followed
barbecue.
Here in a second. That's what's going to happen.
Hey, you would love it. Something's on a pit every time he sends out a twit pic. So
we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to hear from SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. Great interview with him yesterday as he stopped by to visit some student athletes here in College Station. We'll talk more basketball again as we wrap up the show. The Sleep Station, Aggie-owned, Aggie-operated. Come visit the two locations in Bryan-College Station to get the best mattress and bedding products available. The Sleep Station, proud corporate sponsor of Texas A&M Athletics. More Studio 12 in a bit here on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Welcome back to Studio 12. Will and Matt with you. You heard Matt mention earlier that SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey was in town yesterday. On campus, he met with some of our student-athletes. And last night at the basketball game at halftime, he was on hand to award Lori Corbelli and the Aggie volleyball team their SEC championship trophy. It was good to have the commissioner in town. And yesterday, Matt caught up with Greg Sankey.
Well, we're here with Commissioner Greg Sankey of the SEC, and I know it's always nice for you to get back to the great state of Texas when you get a chance to, and you're here for a very brief visit, but I'm sure it's nice for you to be back.
It is. It was rewarding when we added Texas A&M and made the trip here to celebrate their addition to the Southeastern Conference. I have two daughters who are actually native Texans. They were born in McKinney, Texas, and have lived their entire lives in the geographic footprint of the SEC. It's just that Texas didn't know it in the mid-90s. So, but it's good to be here. Good to be at Texas A&M.
What about you personally as you're getting close to, I guess you're halfway through, but getting close to wrapping up year one for you? What's it been like? Has it been everything you thought it would be? Has it been more than it? Has it kind of surprised you? It's kind of a big picture question, but.
Yeah, probably all that and more, really. I knew because I'd been in the office for 12 years and had worked closely with Mike Slive, I knew what happened. But until you sit in the commissioner's chair, you don't understand what it's like to be the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference. And the speed and the pace with which things happen, the intensity, the level of the issues are all real. And then the accolades, the good things. I've had people over the last week or so walk up to me in the airports and say, hey, you're doing a great job. You know, all based on the fact our football season went so well at the end of the year. But, you know, there are parts that I didn't know about that I've had to catch up and learn quickly. But it's been really rewarding and exciting, and it's amazing how quickly the ride has gone.
A very brief visit here to College Station. You got a chance to visit. As we're talking with you here on a Tuesday, you got the chance to visit today with some Aggie student-athletes. How fun is that for you to be able to resonate and talk with these student-athletes and really hear what concerns them?
It's one of the more rewarding parts of the job. In fact, I generally say it's my favorite part. Once you can get through the awkwardness of here's this person who shows up and just actually talk about what their lives are like. We spent 3 days in San Antonio last week at an NCAA convention and a lot of discussion about time demands on student athletes. I spent time with student athletes from some other conferences where it was really kind of a dark and cloudy day in those dialogues. And what was great here at Texas A&M was just to talk about how coaches without rules give some free time, how class schedules are demanding, but coaches have the flexibility to meet the academic needs of the participants on their team. And I actually walk away from the conversation thinking, you know, we're doing a lot more right than we give ourselves credit for. And I think that's a testament to us in the SEC, despite perceptions about the intensity of competition, but clearly a testament to the positive work being done here at Texas A&M.
And you talk about doing things right in the SEC. I know one of the big things for you is that your motto with the scholars, champions, leaders, and how important that is, because truly a very small percentage of these kids are going to make a ton of money playing their sport and setting themselves up for life. It's so much more important for them to have that education, have that degree to prepare them for the future, isn't it?
It is, and under each of those words are three words. You graduate every student athlete, win every championship, and change the world. And I think if we educate well and we compete successfully, it gives us this leadership platform that is really undeniable and that young people can access as they launch themselves into a career. So the conversations that I had with the young people here were really about how do they most effectively prepare themselves for what's next, whether it might be athletically, guys thinking about the baseball draft this summer, or people going out to qualify for the Olympic trials, or others who are engineering majors looking for internship opportunities, and how do you configure their schedule to meet those needs.
I know one thing that made big news this week and actually today as it came out was the amount of revenue that was generated towards the schools with the college football playoff. That's obviously very important, but it all works towards that ultimate goal of trying to prepare these kids for life after. You know, how do you guys try to stay on track with that message of what's really important and what the ultimate goal is of what you're trying to do?
Well, you know, fortunately, our universities are great about setting expectations that we distribute revenue at a high level, and what's happened over time with the decisions of the conference's leadership, our presidents and chancellors, our athletics directors, our commissioners, particularly the last two, Roy Kramer, and then what Mike Slive did with the expansion and the addition of the network, places us in an incredibly positive position financially. There's strength here. There's an attraction to the public and I think to others who both look at us with great respect, but also want to ascend to the levels that we've achieved. And what gets lost in the middle of reports when tax returns are filed and then shared with the media is that money goes back into our universities. A lot of it goes into our athletic programs, obviously, but then money flows into academic programs. Our schools make different decisions on how they might fund academic scholarships. One of our schools built an academic building proceeds through its athletics program. And I sat and listened to an athletics director talk about one of his daughters now attending class in that academic building that the athletic department contributed to. So one of the things that we have to do is be better about telling those kinds of stories, because they're magnificent stories happening all across this conference that are introduced because of athletics, but magnified because there's so much more than just the sports that are happening on the fields and on the courts.
Greg Sankey with us here on Studio 12. And, you know, you talked about being able to tell the stories and being able to get that message out. Obviously, the SEC Network has been a tremendous success. I guess you had an idea it could be, but has it maybe exceeded your expectations as to how huge this network has been in just its very short life?
Yeah, that's a great question. In fact, you go back to when we first started talking in 2008, the Big Ten had created a network. Should we, the patience of our leadership, to wait to a more optimal time? That happened in 2012. And then to see the partnership with ESPN, their production value, which exceeds any other competitor's conference network, in my view. And I think really created a reaction from day one that, wow, this is the highest of high quality. At the same time, as we were going into the summer leading up to launch in August of 14, a lot of questions about what kind of distribution we'd see. And I think the power of the Southeastern Conference, combined with the partnership we have with ESPN, resulted in near total distribution from week one. And there were some catch-up and some smaller companies that had to jump on the bandwagon. But right now, 9 of the 10 major cable providers are part of distributing the SEC Network. And I talked to my parents who live in upstate New York who listen to Paul Feinbaum, and my dad talks about that, too. Others on the West Coast, as I've talked to parents and student-athletes who understand the recruiting value around our softball programs, our volleyball programs, and the ability to see their children participate and play on a Southeastern Conference campus is meaningful.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about Texas A&M here. It's quite a while now. It's been almost coming up on 4 years, I guess, for Texas A&M to be a part of the league. You were you know, you were not commissioner at the time, but you were heavily involved in all that as Texas A&M, the onboarding process, so to speak, the pursuit/onboarding process. You constantly amazed maybe by the way that the Aggie fandom have embraced the SEC. I'm sure you guys run into it constantly, or is it something that you just expected would be the case from what you'd heard about from Texas A&M?
Well, I had been down here frequently and had a number of friends in the Metroplex who are Aggies, so I knew how deep the affection and love for this university is among its fan base. I went back. I spoke to the 12th man meeting a couple years ago and said of any moment that crystallized it for me was this picture of Johnny Manziel with the football heading into the end zone of the Cotton Bowl with three Oklahoma defenders chasing him as he tightroped. And people will remember that, I'm sure. And he had proudly on that jersey his SEC logo displayed. And I thought that said a lot about the change that had happened here. And then this year I attended the Alabama football game. The stadium's new. It's done. And you looked up in the – it was the upper deck on the side of the football building. And just the number, the sheer number of people up there. And the atmosphere and excitement was such a great representation of what Texas A&M is, what it has shown it can be and what it will be for decades and centuries forward. And I'm certain as a member of the Southeastern Conference.
And then just finally, you were talking about change there. One of the changes coming to Texas A&M, the new athletic director, Scott Woodward, is going to start here in the next month or so. Onboarding process, how does that work when you guys welcome in a new athletics director? This might be the first one, I'm not sure, for you as commissioner, but how does that work as far as orienting them as to meeting people and how they get settled in?
Yeah, it's actually my second. Mac Rhodes up in Missouri transitioned right around the time I took over. We'll invite the athletics director into our office, walk around to visit with our staff. We actually do this with new coaches, and then I go onto campus and with President Young, we traveled here last May to provide him an orientation as the new as president of Texas A&M. But we'll invite Scott to Birmingham, and we'll take him through our current issues, meet our staff, talk about some calendaring, look through some of our financial information, talk about our planning. And he's obviously got great experience, given that he was at LSU before he then was at Washington. He's got some relationships with people in our office. So I would expect and I'm excited to be working with him. We've had a great relationship with Eric and wish him well. We'll look forward to the future with Scott.
That was Matt with SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. And I think this time of year, he's got to be pretty pleased because he's wrapping up a football season that went very well for the SEC. Basketball season underway. I mean, I would think being in town yesterday, getting to experience some of that A&M-LSU game, he had to just be enthralled a bit with that atmosphere, the largest crowd at Reed Arena ever. And but I think about, you know, what's on his mind these days. I can't imagine the commissioner being more pleased with how the football season went. Remember when the playoffs started, when it was beginning, somebody asked him, you know, what's important when it comes to the playoff? What do you want to see when it comes to the playoff? He didn't really say anything about the bracket. He said, I just want to see an SEC team win it. Well, Alabama did win it. Football-wise, the SEC went 15-7 against Power 5 non-conference foes this year. By far the best of the by far out ahead of the other four leagues. All of the others were right around 500 or a little below. So, I mean, I think he's a guy that's very pleased this time of year coming out of football season, transitioning into the spring semester.
Well, and I talked to him just for a second off air about basketball. And, you know, he said, you know, this league's getting better. He says, it's just going to take some time. It just needs to progress. You know, and I've told you this, and I'm sure I've said this on the show, I really miss basketball. Back in the Big 12, back in the old Big 12, back in the, or like when we were talking about all these large crowds coming in, you can see the SEC getting there. Look at what Texas A&M is doing. Look at what South Carolina is doing. These teams are building. They're, you know, it's Billy Kennedy. Stick with the man. His process is great. Trust in his process. Look what he has now built. South Carolina, Frank Martin, you could say the same thing. Look, stick with him. Trust in the process. Look what he's built. You got Ford, Michael White at Florida. It ain't going to be long before they're back where they were. Kentucky, this league is getting better. And if this league cranks up its basketball to a whole nother level, man, I mean,
it's
got
a trifecta.
Wow.
It's football and baseball. It's hard to question anything the league does. But I think they came down with a mandate a couple of years ago for teams to schedule better in non-league play. I think that's worked for some. It's been difficult on others. A&M this year, I mean, couldn't have done it any better.
Look at this non-conference game sitting here next Saturday.
Yeah. That's one of the things, by the way, SEC Big 12 challenge. The SEC's been beaten up in it pretty good the last couple of years. You got to make a stand in that thing to boost that basketball profile. But also the coaches in this league. Look at them now. I mean, John Calipari, Rick Barnes, Ben Howland, Billy Kennedy, Michael White, Bruce Pearl in the league now. I mean,
Frank
Martin. I mean,
he's got his own fathead at Reed Arena, Will.
To me, it starts there. You're getting some of the best coaches in the game in this league now. And that's only going to be – and they're all early. It's all early in a lot of their tenures, with the exception of John Calipari. And right now Billy Kennedy's getting the Aggies going. But most of these teams with really good coaches, it's early in their tenures, and they're really going to create some competitive basketball squads here soon.
All right, we will take a break. But before we do, we want to remind you, folks, Brazos Valley Recycling wants to remind you to keep Reed Arena sustainable. Use the recycling receptacles throughout the arena. To learn more about ways you can recycle, visit BrazosValleyRecycling.com. We're back to wrap up this edition of Studio 12 in just a bit here on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. Next three home games for Texas A&M, folks, all sitting on Saturday afternoons. Great opportunity to get out and support this top 10 basketball program. This Saturday, 3 o'clock, the Missouri Tigers. Next Saturday, 1 p.m., it's the SEC Big 12 Challenge against number 19 Iowa State. That number will surely rise. They just knocked off number 1 OU on Monday. 1 o'clock next Saturday, Iowa State. Saturday, February the 6th, South Carolina, a top 25 team. Comes in here. That game tips at 3 p.m. Available 12thman.com/tickets. And students, as always, remember, you get in free with your sports pass. 12thman.com/tickets for more information. Matt, Will, and Cade back with you wrapping up this edition of Studio 12. The Aggies, of course, last night with the big win over LSU, 71-57. In the post game, Billy Kennedy was asked by one of the writers, knowing that there's still tons of basketball left to play, how proud are you to see what you've been working towards all these years, believing in your process, trusting in your process, starting to come to fruition?
I'm thankful, you know. It's all I can say, you know. So many people have been supportive of me, and, I'm thankful. We got a lot of games left. Shit, hell, I can't get too emotional right now. We got a lot of games left. But we're doing the right things, and when you do the right things, God honors it.
Will, you can just kind of hear it in his voice that he knows there's a ton of basketball left to play, but this program is I don't want to say really pointing in the right direction. It's there. It's there. The Aggies are making statements. They're on the national scene. They're getting great crowds. I mean, this man's put in an incredible amount of work and really just trusted in his process and stayed the course. And a lot of basketball left to be played, but you really got to like what you see so far.
Yeah, and it is incredible to watch this team when they're around him. I mean, they truly believe in his process, his plan. They're so confident in everything they do, in each other and in their coach. It goes back to what I was saying earlier. Nothing bothers them. A loud crowd on the road, trailing by a few, a tight game late, nothing bothers them. That will come in handy in March, because the NCAA tournament, doesn't matter if you're a 1 seed or a 13, you start to throw those seeds out of the window in that big bracket, and it literally comes down to either you make a shot in advance or you don't, you go home. It doesn't matter what your seed is. At some point, it's going to come down to that. Kentucky last year was 38-0. They were the best team in the country, and that was clear. But it came down to a shot against Wisconsin in the Final Four, some late-game situations. It didn't happen. They had to go home. That's what March is. If you can put a team on the floor where the magnitude of the moment doesn't bother them because of their belief in themselves and their coach, you're already ahead of the game than most of the other teams in the 68-team field. So,
yeah, and you mentioned belief in the coach. Tyler Davis, the freshman, was asked, in the postgame, they said, hey, what does Coach Kennedy mean to y'all, and how important is he to what you guys are accomplishing on the court?
Coach Kennedy's the man. This is like father figure. You know, he's got the kindest heart out of anyone I've ever met, and he's a great leader. He's always talking to us. He's not just a coach. You know, he's a friend, too, someone that we know we can come to, someone that you can trust. So it just makes it easy when you're in that huddle listening to him, when you're on the court during practice listening to him. You never put off what he says. Just makes it a lot easier with the person he is.
You know, and Cade, you hear that from a freshman there, and just the really just the matter of fact belief and confidence, and just they like he. There's no doubt in his mind that great person I'm playing for, man really knows basketball, and I'm proud to call him my coach.
Oh yeah, I mean that's why this freshman class came here. Coach Kennedy was on them early, stayed with them, and it's just kind of he's a father figure. It's just a big family over there. You've got the young freshmen coming in, you've got the older brothers and the seniors teaching and having fun, and everyone has trust in each other and what they're saying and confidence, and it shows on the court.
No trust, like we don't have any of them in this room. You know, we wouldn't really be able to hang in this locker room.
Oh, I don't trust you.
No.
Nor will.
No. This is why we just leave the trust to the guys in the basketball locker room.
That's a ringing endorsement right there.
Exactly.
That is a ringing endorsement. But this team, I mean, you're going to have to use the phrase now, there's a long way to go, because 18 games in, they have already proven they're a March-worthy team. I mean, nothing's really going to change that down the stretch. But if you're this team, I mean, you still got to play conference through February and on. I mean, there's still a lot to play for before you hit March. But I think what happens when you get to this point and you're 16-2 and 6-0 in conference and ranked in the top 10, I think fans like us, you're going to start to flash forward. You're going to start to think what could be SEC champions. SEC tournament champions is a possibility when they go to Nashville. How far can they go in the bracket? I mean, everything's going to have to be prefaced when fans talk now with, I know we've got a long way to go, but here's what this team can do. Because, I find myself thinking about, man, what seed can they be when the bracket comes out? How far can they go when March Madness arrives? Because that's a worthy topic when it comes to this team now. Because they are so good.
I think it's cool to look forward like that, but I think you need to everyone just kind of slow down and enjoy the season. You don't want this season to be over.
That's
this
true.
Season has been fun, and I think
South Carolina,
each
Kentucky
fan,
coming in, that's going to be fun.
Each fan, even with Missouri coming in, mm-hmm. go watch the Aggies because we are good, and it's going to be fun. And I think the fans need to enjoy each game as they come.
Because that's another thing. People get caught up so much in what happens in March. They base the success of the season on that. I mean, look, if you win an SEC championship, it's a successful and phenomenal season, regardless of what happens in that bracket. So watch the Aggies try to get to that crown within their conference. First ever SEC championship in basketball. That's what they're going for.
All right, that'll do it for this edition of Studio 12. We'll be back Friday. Get you primed up for the Missouri game. Again, tickets for the Aggie season, 12thman.com/tickets. You better get them now because I don't know how much longer they're going to be around. That'll do it for us. For Cade and Will, I'm Matt. Studio 12 here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone, 102.7 FM.